Hallelujah.
Well, praise God and amen. How many knows we still serve a miracle-performing God? Amen. Can I see the hands of any recipients of miracles? Amen. What a wonderful testimony. Amen. God is still in the miraculous, amen, business. Loving the Lord tonight with all of my heart. God has been so gracious and so good. I can't thank Him enough. Amen. For all that He has done, all that He has been to us. We just was reminiscing today the goodness of God. Amen. And I just love Him and I love you folks. I appreciate your attendance tonight. I appreciate you coming up, coming back out. You know, it's so easy. So very easy to go home on a Sunday evening. I told Sister Penny when we got home today, and after we had eaten, something about eating. I don't know what it is. It brings out the laziness in me. And I said, I am just so tired. It felt so good to sit there, you know. And as I was sitting there in my recliner, it's just like the Lord said, well, get your Bible. You know what I said the other night? Well, I'm too tired. And that's what I told the Lord. But He said, get your Bible. So how many knows that we can be refreshed in God's Word?
Amen. Amen.
Well, if you love Jesus, let Him know it tonight. Come on, you can't praise Him enough. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to the book of St. Mark tonight. The very first chapter in the book of St. Mark. We made reference to it this morning, but I want to preach on something entirely different tonight with the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. How many knows the Word's good? The Word's good from lid to lid. It's good. Amen. From St. Mark, the first chapter, let's begin in verse number 32 tonight. St. Mark, chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 32. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And He healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew Him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out, and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with Him followed after Him. And when they had found Him, they said unto Him, all men seek for Thee. And He said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, and kneeling down to Him, and saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from Him, and He was cleansed. Brother Chris, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight? Ask God's anointing and His blessing upon His servant tonight.
Father, we love You, Lord. We thank You for all that You do for us, Lord. We thank You for Your presence. Lord, we ask right now that You just anoint Brother Eddie, Father God. Lord, take his lips of clay, Father God. Lord, his lungs, and Father God, everything he speaks, Lord, let it be of You, Father God.
Grant it. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor, someone, and say, one more soul. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to bring this message entitled, One More Soul. I was moved as I began to read St. Mark this afternoon, and was already just contemplating on the blessings of God and just thanking Him for all of His goodness and mercy. You know, there's times when I just want to thank Him. I don't really want to ask Him for anything. I don't really want to petition Him. I've done that many, many times. But there's times I just want to thank Him. And this afternoon, I spent a great deal of time just thanking the Lord for all, not only just today, but each and every blessing that He has bestowed upon us and upon our family. And we're just thinking how good that God is. And I began to read this particular passage of Scripture. We find that Jesus had just been teaching in the synagogues around Galilee, and after church one day, or after the synagogue of the teaching, he went to the house of Simon Peter. And there we found out that Simon Peter's mother-in-law was sick of a fever. We find that Jesus reached out and touched her hand, and immediately she was healed of that fever, and she began to get up and to minister to them. And already his fame had begun to travel around the area of Galilee, and people were hearing about the miracles. They were wondering about who this man was that could make the lame walk and the dumb talk and open blinded eyes and heal fevers and speak to demonic spirits and have them completely cast out. And it began to draw quite a bit of an attention around there, and they began to come to the house and gather around the house of Simon Peter. Now the Bible says here that it was evening time, and the sun was just about to set, and they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And then it says a very remarkable statement, and all the city was gathered together at the door. Now, I don't know how long that particular service lasted. I would imagine if all the city was represented, I would imagine if all the neighbors that were sick and afflicted and tormented with divers diseases and demonic spirits, I would imagine it probably went a little longer than most church services do today, and that would put it sometime in the late evening hour and maybe even approaching the midnight hour. I don't know, but I would just imagine in my own thoughts and my own ideas that this service carried on quite a long time. And I was thinking as I was reading how tired sometimes, in fact, I told Sister Penny this morning, I said, I just felt so drained after preaching the sermon this morning. I just felt like I needed a B12 shot or something, but the Holy Ghost, amen, is the thing that I really needed to revive me. But I began to think about Jesus and it being God in flesh and how that flesh must have been wearied, even maybe to the point of exhaustion. But he did not turn anybody away, and I believe with all of my heart he prayed until the last one, amen, was healed or anointed or whatever the case may be. And then we find as they changed directions just a little bit, Mark began to talk about an early in the morning. So it lets me know that they went to bed sometime that night, and maybe the crowd had dispersed and gone to their places of abode, but the disciples and Jesus staying in the home of Simon Peter probably slept there as a guest. But the Bible says he rose early, even before daylight. And I thought about the long night and the service and the many, many people that were there and how exhausting it must be unto his body. But there was something that caused him to keep going. There was something, an urgency about him that he knew that his job was not complete. And he went away out into a solitary place, the Bible says. And there he began to pray. And he began to pray to the Father. And we don't know if he was praying for strength. We don't know if he's praying for guidance, but I believe that there was something in his spirit that let him know that he needed to go into the next towns. Because the Bible says that later on that day, I guess after the disciples got up, they began to search for Jesus, and they found him as he was in this solitary place praying. And the first request they had on him was as if he hadn't done enough the night before, as if he hadn't spent a lot of time and energy praying for those folks and casting out spirits and healing all of those with divers diseases. The people were back again wanting more from Jesus, and he said that they look for you, or the crowd are seeking for you. And Jesus's response to the disciples was, we need to go into the next towns. In fact, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. My Bible makes reference to Isaiah, where the prophet Isaiah said, the Lord hath appointed me to preach to the captive and to set the captive free, in that particular verse that you're talking about. And another place Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. And I thought that, how that he knew that there was needs in the next town. And then I began to read down a little bit further, and we find that after he had preached in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee and cast out devils, the Bible says there came a leper. And this is where it really got intriguing to me. It really piqued my interest, because, you know, I just naturally thought that Jesus was probably praying in the solitary place for strength, for, you know, praying that God would help him in his ministry and provide for him, when in fact it may not have been Jesus' prayer at all. Maybe that the Spirit of God was using him to let him know there's one more soul. You spent quite a while, quite a bit of your energy and your ability, and folks have been touched. In fact, the Bible says all the town were there. So that lets me know that if all the town was there, they had not only to receive the healing miracles of the Lord, but I believe he ministered unto them. And let the word go unto each and every one, into their ears they may have heard the word. And Jesus knew his time was drawing close. He knew that he only had just a short little while, a few years, 3.5 years to minister. And he realized the urgency that he must carry this gospel into the next town. Because as hungry as these folks were in this particular town, they had been preached the word of God. And Jesus felt an urgency to go into the next towns. And as he was there ministering, the Bible says there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. How many knows that the Lord loves worship? And saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. How many knows that from the old law that you were not supposed to touch the lepers, amen, because in fact they had to shout, unclean, you cannot come near me. There were certain things that they had to do to purify themselves and present themselves to the priest, but Jesus bypassed all of that and he reached out and touched him because he had compassion on him, amen, and he said, I will be thou clean, and immediately, amen, the leprosy was healed from that particular soul. And I want to bring that to our attention tonight in the form of that one soul, amen, who is lost, that one soul who is steeped in the sin, amen, a type of sinful leprosy. Many times ministers have correlated the disease of leprosy and likened it to the sin that's in the world today. And can you think about it, folks? As comfortable as we sit in this household, as good as we come to worship and praise the Lord, as many sermons as we have heard, as many miracles that we've seen in the altar, as many times if we shouted and praised God through the aisles of this congregation, could it be that there's one more soul out there, someone who is seeking in despair, someone who is lost in a sinful nature and needs somebody just to come by, somebody to point them to Jesus, somebody to have compassion on them, somebody to lead them to the Lord. Man, as many souls that are saved, as many people that are the recipients of God's blessings, I can't help but think somewhere tonight there's somebody crying out. There's somebody needing spirit to be filled. There's somebody needed, amen, born again experience. Maybe we need to go into the next towns. Maybe we need to go out of the comfort zone of the four walls that surround us in our worship service and carry the gospel to the lost. I want to share a story with you, if you might. I often talk of my granddaddy. The reason being, he had such an impact on my life. At an early, early age, I remember him being a devout Christian and a mighty man of God and a pastor of started 3 different churches. And he was bivocational. He worked and he also pastored, and he worked for Goodyear there in Rockmart, Georgia, and he worked the third shift. And finally he started. He told us the story and the history of how he got there. He was born here in Villarica, working in the cotton mills, and learned to be a fixer. If you don't know what a fixer is, it's a type of mechanic that had to keep the all of the cotton mill machines operating and smoothly working so that the people who were working on production could make their money and make their turn out as many socks as they possibly could. So he got very good at that, and he heard about an opening at Goodyear, so he went to Goodyear, and over his span of about 34, 35 years that he worked there, he worked his way up to he was over the supervisor over the third shift. They call it the pre-dip plant. And he worked at night, and
come home, and he would go to bed and sleep a while, and then he would get up and do his pastoral duties, and then you get the sermons and all, and too. And I just knew it was that's what Granddaddy did. But later on, when I became an adult, I thought how dedicated and committed that he was to carry on that job. But he told this story himself, and give the one honor and glory to God. He said one morning, as he was getting off from work and getting ready to come home, and certainly I'm sure that it had probably been a long and trying night, as many of the things was, because they had a tendency to come to him about everything that was tore up or messed up. So he said he was, and he just lived right across the street from the factory, so he was walking home, and he said God spoke to him just as plain as he had ever heard anybody speak to him. And he said, you need to go to Cartersville. He lived in Rockmart. You need to go to Cartersville. And you need to go to the home. I will not tell you the sister's name, but you need to go to her home, and you need to have prayer for her. And my granddaddy thought, okay, you know, yeah, I'll do that before I go to sleep. So he goes home, and he asks his wife, or tells his wife, that the Lord has just spoken to him, and he needs to go to Cartersville, and he would like for her to go with him, because he's going to a sister's house to pray, because God has spoken to him and told him. My grandmother was preoccupied, so there was something else she had to do. She could not break the appointment. So the first time that she could not break the appointment, my granddaddy said, well, we'll just do it another day. How many knows that sometimes we try to put God off to a convenient time when God is saying that we need to go? I believe Jesus knew that he needed to go into the next town. He could have said, let's take a week off. He could have said, let's go back to the house of Simon and let's rest and recuperate and all. But he felt something. He felt something that he needed to go into the next towns. So my granddaddy said, okay, we'll go another time when you can go with me. And God said, no, you need to go today. So he begins to think, begins to offer excuses. You know, it's probably not a good idea to place myself in a compromising position. You know, people talk and all of this. But God said, no, you need to go today. You need to go today. So the next thing is he says, well, God, I don't know where she lives. I know she lives in Cartersville, but I don't know where she lives. And God tells him, he said, look on the register at the church. She'd been attending the church. Find the address. And he found the street, but he didn't have the house number. So God said, go anyway. So he gets in his car. This is after he's worked all night. He has not gone to bed yet. God's calling him. And he gets in his car and he drives to Cartersville. And he drives and has to ask two or three people, where is that street? He finds that little street. He drives on the street. There's several houses on both sides of the road. God, I don't know which house. God says, ask the neighbor. Go to one of the houses and ask them, do they know so-and-so? He had to go to two different houses. First house said, no, I don't know them. He said, well, that's another. You know, there's three different opportunities why he can't do it today. But God won't let him alone. He says, go to the next one and ask. Oh, yeah, I know. She lives right down here in this particular house, certain house number. So Brother Buddy gets in his car, goes back, then pulls into the driveway, goes up to the door, and he knocks on the door. And there's no answer. There's no commotion. Here's his fourth opportunity. He says, there's nobody home. He turns to start to walk away. Before he gets to the edge of the porch, God says, turn around and knock again. Being a servant of God and obedient and really thinking now, it's just kind of a lost cause. He goes back and he knocks again. No answer. By this time, he said, you know what, Lord? I've come this far. I've done what you asked me to. But it's very plain. She's not here. I'll come back at a time when I can bring my wife. And God said, no, knock again. So he turns around and he goes back and he knocks as loud as he can on that door. Nothing. He's satisfied now that there's absolutely nobody at home. He turns to walk at the edge of the porch to go down the step, and he hears the doorknob that's moving. So he turns around and he goes back to the door. And the door opens, and here is this sister. She opens it just about that far, and she sticks her head and she says, oh, it's you, Brother Bailey. And he said she looks awful, tears running down her face. She opens the door and says, please come in. You just don't realize that God has sent you. I heard the knock the first time that you knocked, but I didn't answer. I was too depressed. I was too down and out. And I heard you knock again, and I thought, surely they'll go away. But when you kept knocking, I had to come and just peep and see who it was. Brother Bailey, I didn't expect you, but I'm so glad because God must have sent you. She said, the first time that you knocked, I was in the bathroom and I had the revolver to my head. And I was just about to pull the trigger when you knocked on the door. And my granddaddy began to pray with that woman. God delivered her, brought her to church. She began to be one of the most faithful saints of God, amen, that the church at Rockmart, Georgia had. Said, Brother Eddie, why are you saying all of that? Because God knows what we don't know, amen. And when God speaks, we need to obey. And I believe with all of my heart, as Jesus was praying in a solitary place, I don't think he was praying, Lord, help me. Lord, may give me strength. God, help me to do this. But I think he was praying, God, give me one more soul. My time here on earth is short, and the harvest is white, and I need to be about your business. And Father, just show me somebody. Oh, that's what we need to pray. First Pentecostal, show us somebody. Give me one more soul. Give me somebody that's hungry for a move of God. Lord, lead me, guide me as we talk this morning, but lead me in your ways. Because we don't know. Right now, there's somebody hurting. There's somebody depressed. Somebody to a point that they think there's absolutely no hope. And as we sit in the wonderful confines of this place tonight, and we worship and glorify God and thank God for that, I count my blessings every day. Because I was that lost sheep one time. Thank God for a praying family. Thank God for a pastor that was my granddaddy. Thank God for him presenting and preaching the word and pricking my heart with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And me coming forth and repenting of my sins and asking Jesus into my life. But do you know, amen, that as comfortable as we are here tonight and as blessed as we are here tonight, somebody somewhere is lying on the street. Somebody somewhere is taking a syringe and shooting up one more time. Somebody somewhere is lying on a hospital bed, not even aware that they're here. Amen. Somebody somewhere has just been in a car accident, and we don't know if they were ready to meet the Lord or not. Folks, what I'm telling you is there is an urgency. There is a need to get the word out. If it's just one more soul, how important is that one more soul that Jesus left the multitude, and he went to the next town, and there he met the leper. There he met the sinner. There he met the one who needed a touch from God. Lord, lead us to that lost soul. There's one more soul. Amen. And I'm using the analogy of one more soul, but you know as well as I do, there's countless numbers of souls out there weighing in the balances, needing and praying and wishing that someone would just share with them. Amen. Jesus moved with compassion. Lord, move me with compassion. I can look over this congregation and I can see how easy it is to love you. You're so precious to us. You're such a blessing to us. I look forward to seeing your face in the congregation. I miss you when you're not here, and I long for you to be here as we unite and worship and praise the Lord. And it is so easy to love you. It is so easy to fellowship with you. But I begin to think about that. We stand here tonight, and probably I'm just assuming here, there's probably not a lost person here. If there is, you don't need to be lost. Amen. Glory to God. You can be saved before you leave here tonight. But seemingly, most of the congregation here tonight has a relationship with the Lord, and that's wonderful and that's powerful. But let's don't just have our little service and close our Bible and go on about our business, amen, without knowing that there's souls that are lost out there. That one more soul may be your next door neighbor. That one more soul may be the person who works in the cubicle beside you at your office. That one more soul may be the one that poured you coffee this morning, or when you go down to the Waffle House. That one more soul may be the person that's ringing up your groceries at the grocery store. So many times we don't know, but God does, and create an urgency within our heart that will reach out to the lost. Lord, one more. One more, and then when we get that one more, let me never be satisfied, God, until every person has been reached and given the opportunity. Can I remind us tonight that somebody prayed for us? Somebody loved us. Somebody witnessed to us. Or we may not have been receptive at that particular time. In fact, we may have been a little bit disturbed or perturbed that they even brought up the subject. You know, some folks don't like to hear about the Lord. Some folks don't want to hear about it because they just want to put it out of their mind. Other folks don't want to hear about it because it convicts their soul. Man, that's uncomfortable. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about Jesus to me. Don't talk about being born again. I'm not ready to make that commitment. I still got too much living to do. Amen. Tell me in the Bible where you get that guarantee. We're not promised tomorrow. The very breath that we breathe is on loan from God. He could snatch it away any time that He so desires. Amen. Don't put off next week to what you can have done tonight. Glory to God. Don't put off till you get your life in order, because you'll never get your life in order without the Lord coming into your life. I tried to straighten myself up so many times, and all it did was just make it worse. Amen. I tried to ease my conscience a little bit, but when God came into me, when the Lord called me and He filled me with His Spirit, amen, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt, Sister Connie, I knew just like you did. Everything that was in there, I finally released it. I quit holding on to it. I said, Lord, if you're going to forgive me for everything. I want a clean slate. I want it all out in the open. God, I don't want anything here to hinder me. Hallelujah. Jesus had compassion, and He loved me, and He saved me, and I'm so thankful for that. But as Jesus began to pray, I believe with all of my heart that maybe He might have saw that one lost sheep, that one little leper, who, by the way, is nameless. The disciple didn't even name him. It was just that leper. Amen. But somehow it's just me. I kind of believe that as Jesus was praying in that solitary place. Can I just kind of take a little brief moment here? I don't know how you see Jesus praying, but to me, I see the most humblest, most righteous, sinless person petitioning God in earnest. Wasn't worried about the time frame. Wasn't worried what time of day it was. He got up way before anybody else did. And He went to a solitary place. How many know sometimes we need to steal away? Put the cell phone up. Turn the television off. Come on, push all of those things that distract us out of the way and get into a solitary place. Some folks say, Brother Eddie, I wish the Lord would talk to me. And I say, I wish you would listen. Amen. You can hear Him talking if you listen. But if you're too preoccupied, if you're too consumed with yourself and everything around you, it's very hard to listen to Him. Amen. Even though He's talking, I believe the Lord is kind of like the airwaves on a radio. Amen. So many of us think we turn the radio off and they quit talking. They're still talking. You just ain't tuned in. Come on. I mean, know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we don't hear God because we're not tuned in. Amen. We don't want to hear it. We got other things to do. I don't have time. I'm running late. I got to do this. I got to do that. Lord, I'll get back to you. Amen. But I don't believe Jesus was that way. I don't believe He was preoccupied with anything else. I don't believe He had any schedules to meet. I don't believe He had any errands to run, any honey-do list to do. I believe He gave His undivided attention to the Father. What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? I know the people seek me here. The people want me here. But they want me for what they can get out of me. They want their healing. They want their deliverance. But Father, in my spirit, I see a lost soul. I see an unclean vessel. I see somebody who is at their very end of their rope. Somebody who can't even see any hope in tomorrow. Father, maybe that's where I need to be. And the disciples came to Him and said, listen, There's all kind of people waiting. The prayer line's full. They're ready for you to come back. Start up where you left off last night. He says, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Man, I'm so glad that in his visitation of the next towns, he came to Rockmore, Georgia one night. Amen. And there was a congregation about the size of half the church in that little bitty building. But in that little bitty building, there was a soul who was pretty faithful to the church because his mom and dad told him to be there. And he was pretty faithful to his granddad because his granddad said, I want you to sing a song. And he liked two songs, two kind of songs, good old fast ones and fast old good ones. And he wanted me to sing, and I tried to be obedient to him. But I thought that was all I needed. I thought that was all I needed. I thought I was good as anything, you know. I knew one day I was going to have to come down to that altar. But I didn't want to do it at such a young age. But somewhere, Jesus came into the next town. And that night, I can't even tell you what the preacher preached. But I can sure tell you that my heart was thumping out of my chest. I could not wait until the altar call was given. Prior to that, I couldn't wait till the altar call was over. And I could catch my breath again and get outside. But not that night. I wanted Papa to quit preaching, but not because his preaching wasn't good, but because I needed to get to that altar. That night I felt with all of my heart, if I did not get to the altar that night, I may not ever have another chance. And that is alarming. That began to prick my soul. And I went down to that altar that night. And I broke the alabaster box. I said, I am not taking anything back with me tonight. I'm pouring it all out on the altar. Every drop, every confession, every sin, every weight that does so easily beset me. I am not leaving, Lord, until I get satisfied. I want you to come into my life not only as my Savior, but I want you to come into my life as my Lord. I'm tired of sleepless nights. I'm tired of worrying about where I'm going to spend eternity. Amen. And thank God he had mercy on me. Amen. And Jesus reached out and had compassion on the leper. Amen. God had compassion on me. And he reached down and touched an old sinful boy like me. And he saved my soul. One more soul. Amen. I believe the angels rejoice over one more soul. Why can't Pentecostal church rejoice over one more soul? Can we reach out? Can we pray? Can we seek? Can we get witnesses? Amen. To bring those souls in. Amen. I would venture to say that you don't have to look very far to find that one more soul. Now, I'm not telling you to prejudge. I'm telling you to be led by the Spirit of God. Just, it may not be convenient. It may not be an opportune time. But I need you to go to Cartersville. I need you to find this sister. I need you to be persistent. I need you to knock again. And then I need you to knock again. And then when you think there's nobody back, I need you to knock one more time. Because what my granddaddy couldn't see, God could see. He saw and had compassion on that sister that was sitting there in that bathroom with a revolver pointed to her head. I don't know. I don't know what would cause her to get to that point, but something was eating at her. Something was telling her that you have no hope, that nobody loves you, nobody cares for you. But then she heard a knock. Amen. Aren't you glad that the Lord knocks on our heart's door? Amen. I'm so glad not only that he knocked, but one night I finally answered. And I'm so thankful. Folks, I know I love you and I appreciate you. But I want us to get stirred about lost souls. I believe Bible prophecy points to the soon coming of the Lord. I, you know, that could, no man knows the day, the hour. I know that. Amen. But when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And to comfort one another with these words. Amen. It's a comfort to know that we're going to leave all this behind and receive what the Lord has in store for us. But I want more than just a small congregation to go to heaven.
Amen.
I cannot think of a person. I cannot think of a soul. Even though some has even had animosity and bitterness and things about against me. And I there's not a person that I want to see lost and go to hell. Amen. When you can give your life to the Lord, when you can invite Him in as Lord and Savior, do you know anybody like that? Do you know a person? I'm not asking you to judge them, but you know a tree by the fruit it bears. There's nothing wrong with asking them, have you made preparation for eternity? Sometimes that turns people off, but sometimes it turns people on. What to do? And I often said this, you may not see the results of your witnessing, but you planted a seed. And when you plant that seed, maybe that seed will grow. And somewhere down there, I don't care if it's this church. This ain't the only church you can get saved in. Praise God. If it was, we'd lock the doors and not let you out. Amen. But it's, I've heard of people getting saved, amen, in their living room. It can happen. In a hospital room. Wherever it is. Wherever you make that determination that I can't do it on my own. But be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I guess I can't say it any plainer than that. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And when God puts an urgency or puts something on your heart, it may be nothing but just an invitation to somebody. Or you know what? And I know it's not politically correct, but there's nothing wrong with saying Jesus loves you. You know, a lot of people have this, have a blessed day. And that's good. That's a start. Amen. But have a blessed day because Jesus loves you. Amen. You can have a blessed day, amen, and still not be introduced to the Spirit of the Lord. But when you begin to tell them about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the propitiation, the mediator, amen, glory to God. Amen. Then you planted the seed and you watered it. Amen. And follow up, follow up, follow up. Again, be sensitive. This week, I believe with all of my heart, if you're humble enough and you desire enough, there may be someone in your walk of life, in your circle, amen, that needs to hear about the love of Christ. One more soul. One more soul. Can we do it? One more soul. One more time to witness. Brother Eddie, I've talked to him until I blew in the face one more time. One more time. One more soul. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, we often say the altar is open. That's really not a correct terminology. The altar is never closed. It can't be closed. Amen. Anytime you have a need, whether it's the beginning, middle, or end of the service, come before God. Because I believe that God is able to meet all needs. If you're here tonight, and certainly if you don't know Christ, intimately, you know about Him, you know what it means to have a relationship with Him, but you don't know what it is to have Him in you. I would not put it off. I would not push it down to another time. Today, the day is the day of salvation. Come before God. Amen. He will not turn you away. Or maybe you need refreshing in your soul. Maybe you have a need elsewise. I don't know what it is. But if you have something tonight, bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the altar. And we'll pray with you. Because as Christ had compassion, we need to be Christ-like and have compassion to people's needs as well. Amen. God bless. Some of you gather around these that are coming. Let's pray tonight. Pray in one mind and one accord.
Yes, yes.
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 Troubled waters of your soul, take your broken heart and make you whole. When the storms of your life grow dark and cold, well, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Yes, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Take your broken heart and make you whole. If the storms of your life grow dark and troubled waters of your soul. For deep in every heart there is a longing to find happiness and no such peace of mind. But if your heart gets weary, then, my friend, you'll find that He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Take your broken heart and make you whole. Troubled waters of your soul. Well, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Take your broken heart, make you whole. When the storms of your life grow dark and cold, well, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Peace of mind. your broken heart make you whole. When the storms of your life grow dark and cold, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. He will calm the troubled waters of your soul.
Well, glory.
Hallelujah.
Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the Lamb of God. Thank you, Savior. Glory to God. Glory to God. How wonderful God is. Man, as the Bible says, we have not because we ask not. Amen. But if we ask believing, the Bible says all things are possible. Can we give Him one more hand clap? Come on, you're praising the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.